Burke, Dr. Oakland, California, November 6, 1891. Dear brother, I received your letter day before yesterday. I had a very precious blessing from the Lord during the night season, and will say, I was prepared for your letter and the exhibition of the Spirit revealed in its contents. I now understand the warnings which I received from the Lord concerning the dangers threatening the sanitarium at St. Helena under your influence in your present state of mind. I was shown that there was a spirit leavening the institution that was not in harmony with the work of God, and that I, as a faithful watchman, must give the danger signal. Dr. Burke, I have been shown the working of things at the sanitarium. The Lord has opened before me your peril, and I know that an order of things has been brought into the institution that will give a wrong mold to the retreat. I have seen that you kept far apart from Jesus, that the enemy can deceive and corrupt your soul with his suggestions, so that you cannot discern the voice of the true shepherd, and are in danger of following the voice of the stranger. Now your only safety is in keeping the way of the Lord, not in following your own way. You have become self-sufficient, and you feel satisfied to walk in the sparks of your own kindling. You will adopt measures that appear right to you, although they are instigated by the enemy of God and man. You place a human mold upon the work and dishonor the name of God. Satan is sharp, critical, wide awake, and while men are asleep, he sows his seed to raise a crop of tares which himself and helpers must harvest. I am anxious that you should be saved. I desire you to have eternal life. In completing the work of rebellion, Satan is represented as walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Those who are self-sufficient, who are in friendship with the world, will be an easy prey, for they are at enmity with God. The Apostle says, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." James 4, verse 4. Those who are self-sufficient apprehend no danger. Satan has been successful in ensnaring their souls. Through faith and earnest prayer, with entire self-surrender to God, finite man may become a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But many who profess to believe in Christ will be tried and found as dross. Though professedly working for God, their services are given to the Prince of Darkness. They have changed leaders, for their understanding has become darkened, and they are ignorant of the specious devices of the enemy. Through dependence on human wisdom, which is foolishness with God, their spiritual vision has become darkened and perverted. In the fear of God, in love for souls whom he has purchased with his own blood, I have striven to do my duty, as I have done it for the last 50 years. I felt sorrow of heart as I read your letters, both for you and those whom your spirit will leaven, but I am not intimidated by your threatening. The words of Paul to the Ephesians come to me with comfort. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10-17. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Acts 4, verse 29. Dr. Burke, I am not a stranger to the voice of accusation that speaks to me through your pen.
Again and again I have heard it since first the Lord gave me my work to do, but I certainly shall not obey your dictation. Your threatening does not intimidate me, but simply reveals to me the position in which you are standing. Do you imagine that what you have said in your letter would cause me to change my testimony or turn from the course I have been pursuing in the work the Lord has given me to do? In the chapel at St. Helena, I spoke upon subjects that refer to just such threatening. Did you take heed to that which you heard, to that message?
The Lord has said, "Ye are my witnesses." Shall I fail to answer to this description? In the time of test and trial, Peter failed to witness for his Lord because he put confidence in himself, and you are making a similar mistake. Peter gave voice to the words that Satan suggested to him when he denied his Lord with cursing and swearing. But thank God, he was afterwards converted and stood forth a bold witness for Christ. I hope it will be the same in your case. In the midst of unbelieving priests and Pharisees, Peter stood up to answer for his Lord and bore a decided testimony. He did not hesitate to tell them the truth, although the truth would bring him into disfavor. He said, "But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, ye hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." Acts 3, verse 14, 15, 17 to 20. I present the same testimony to you who have so unsparingly and falsely judged me and threatened me. I was shown many things in reference to our institution which needed correcting, which I shall bring before them. I was shown many things taking place at the health retreat which are not after the order of the Lord and which you need to correct. The sanitarium at St. Helena cannot accomplish the work the Lord designed it should accomplish unless there is a conscientious regard for righteousness and truth. Jesus says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." John 17, verse 3. It is because there is so little knowledge of God and of Christ that the enemy works so successfully through his agents, separating men from God, while he links them with the world. In this way, God is dishonored rather than glorified. After you left the health retreat the first time, you drank deep of the spirit of the world. You enjoyed the flattery of men, and your moral taste was perverted. God graciously gave you another trial, and I was shown that you would either bear the test, separate from the world, become humble and lowly of heart, or you would yield to the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience, and would repeat your former experience. You have been free to open your confidences to unbelievers and have not been true to the cause of present truth. In regard to your accusations and threatenings, I would say that they do not surprise me. I expect to have a more extensive experience in law courts than I have had hitherto. I was shown before I became a witness for the Lord that as we neared the closing up of the work for this time, I should be called to go through this very experience. The Lord has his witnesses today who are to stand as faithful watchmen, not holding their peace day nor night. While in St. Helena, I spoke to you the words of the Lord, and if you refuse to give heed to the warning from the Lord, I am clear. The burden now rests upon you, and your words do not hurt me. They bruise your own soul. You have not denounced and rejected me, but you have rejected him who hath appointed me my work, who hath bidden me speak the word which he has given me.
I shall continue to do this while life lasts. I will not shun to declare to you the whole counsel of God. There shall be no betrayal of sacred trusts on my part, for I could not be untrue to God without imperiling my own soul and the souls of others. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil way, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them.
Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doing good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Ask ye now among the heathen who hath heard such things. The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken, because my people hath forgotten me? They have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. Then said they, Come, and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priests, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophets. Come, and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Jeremiah 18, verse 5 to 15, 18. Can I be surprised that men who do not take heed to the lessons of Christ in dealing with the erring reject the words of the Lord from the lips of his humble servant? Do you imagine you can lift yourself up and stretch your puny arm against the work the Lord has given me to do? Never. I shall continue to do as I have done, heed the word of the Lord, and bear a plain testimony to wrongdoers when he bids me. I shall not make an exception of you, whatever the character of the testimony shall be that the Lord bids me bear to you. If there is danger that the souls of others shall be deceived through the devices of deceived men, and the Lord bids me, I shall warn these souls, that they may be saved from ruin, let the consequences be what they may to me. You may set your will against the Lord, but the Lord will prevail. The Lord is a living God. He rules the heavens. He is higher and mightier than any mortal man. He sees all the works of the children of men, and if his professed people dishonor his name, lead others in false paths, and he bids me bear them a message with pen or voice, if Jesus will give me his grace, I shall bear that message, whether men will bear or whether they will forbear. If Elder Daniels and yourself unite with the world to do after their customs, to reject the messages that God gives, and do harm to the messenger, you will have to answer to the Lord for your doings. There is a God that will vindicate his own work in his own good time. If I have still more to suffer through the confederacy of evil men, the will of the Lord be done. I have already had to suffer through unjust accusation, which has brought me into the courts of law. Mr. Walling has brought an unjust charge against me. He has accused me of alienating the affections of his children from him. I have brought up, educated, and supported these children. I have loved them as my own.
Their support and education has been at my own expense. But the suit Mr. Walling has brought against me has caused me much time and much anxiety. Again and again, I have been in the law office to give my deposition. It is my first lesson in this kind of business, but if I'm called upon to go through this again, I shall seek to bear it with patience. I would be a partaker with Christ of his sufferings. If it is the will of the Lord, I shall sail for Australia on the 12th of November. If the Lord suffers you to make me trouble and should delay my journey, Amen. I shall take this for evidence that he has a work for me to do in California among the churches. And if this is the will of the Lord, it will suit me better than to go to a strange country. I have planned to go to Australia in harmony with the direction of the General Conference. It has not been from choice. I am in the hands of God, that he may do with me as it seemeth best. If the Lord has further testimony for me to bear with pen or voice in California, he will give me grace and power to bear it and shield me in doing the work, and I shall not shun to declare the will of God. I leave you in his hands. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him.
And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife, and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king, nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. Jeremiah 36, verse 21 to 25. This is all the respect that the king showed to the message of God, when it plainly set before him the true condition of the people. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Azriel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, after that the king had burned the roll, and the word which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, Take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast burned this roll, saying, Why hast thou written therein, saying, The king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, He shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and upon the men of Judah, all the evil that I have pronounced against them. But they hearkened not. Then took Jeremiah another roll, and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim king of Judah had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. Verses 26 to 32. What took place in ancient days will be reenacted in our days. What men did under the influence of Satan in times of old, men who are controlled by the same spirit will do today. Those who separate from God and his light will walk in darkness. And if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Men will do strange things when they trust in their own greatness and wisdom. I feel sorry for Elder Daniels. I have nothing in my heart against him. Feelings of sincere pity move me. I would do anything I could to help him, but it is not my business to cover up his crookedness, saying, "It is well with thee," when his soul's salvation is at stake. I have borne to him a message from God, and had he received the reproof and corrected his course, he might have been a channel of light. But he chose his own way and rejected the path cast up for the ransomed of the Lord to walk in. You are doing the same work. Dr. Burke, you accuse me of having the spirit of the evil one, because I tell you the truth. Jesus, the majesty of heaven, was accused of the same thing. But was it true? If all that men say of us was true, our case indeed would be deplorable. Let us draw close to Jesus with his disciples, and hear what he is saying to them. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. John 15, verse 17 to 23. Though darkness and clouds compass me round about, if I am in company with my Saviour, I am content. I turn my eyes from everything and everyone to look to Jesus, to follow in the way that he points out. And though many should join hand to hand to do the same work that you propose to do, I should fear them not. The Lord God of Israel is my fear and my dread and my defense. I fear to suppress the words of God, though I know they are not palatable to the human heart.
God gives his messages to save the soul from death, and any disregard of his word and turning from the ways of the Lord will result in disaster. But truth and righteousness will triumph. How little does the transgressor realize where the path will lead, which looks so enticing in the first moment of temptation? He may travel it long, and it will become more and more crooked. In pain and sorrow and sin, you can find no rest in mind, no relief for the soul. Christ says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Verse 5. It costs an effort to say no to temptation, to resist evil that Satan presents in an attractive light, to refuse the flattery and praise which he gives through his insinuating agents. Flattery will ruin you if you receive it. The things of the world are not the most precious possessions. The most precious thing you can have is a good conscience in the sight of God. Christ says, "Follow me," and the world says, "Follow me." The world holds out its flattering inducements, and you have turned from the snow waters of Lebanon to the turbid streams of the valley to drink of polluted fountains. I long to see you with your entrusted talents, a man of God, true to principle, among those described as without guile and blameless. Now is your time to be a true and faithful witness for Christ. For every self-denial and sacrifice in his service, he will requite you, not as a man pays a debt, but as a king gives a gift. The magnitude of the gift shows that it is not a recompense for human service. He promises 100-fold in this life, and in the world to come, life everlasting. In the darkest hour of trial and temptation, we may have grace to be brave. We may look up and rejoice in hope and courage. But those who would exalt and expand their natures must do it in God's own appointed way, by perfect submission and obedience. The divine displeasure will be upon all who favor the customs and habits of the world, whose tastes and opinions are after the world's order, for they will not enforce the lessons of Christ given to those who live upon the earth. Our eternal destiny is determined by the character we develop in this life. It is to be proven whether or not we will be safe subjects to compose the kingdom of God, safe members of the royal family. All who enter heaven are to be without guile, to be perfect before the throne of His glory. The course of action pursued in some of our institutions, and in the rural health retreat in particular, has been revealed to me as a course contrary to the lessons given by our Savior. A kind of education has been given at the health retreat that was not after the order of Christ, but after the order of Satan. Can you not see that it would be impossible for me to give my influence to any such proceedings as some desire to have take place there? I pronounce against this private work of watching, reporting, tale-bearing, thinking, and speaking evil of those who are church members, who are of the same faith. It is not following the directions of Christ to listen to the reports of unbelievers, to fill your lips arguments from those who deny the truth, and judge against the one they think is in error, while the accused is left in ignorance of any offense on his part. Did you think I could remove one from the sanitarium without understanding for what she was to be removed? Did you think I could take up a reproach against my neighbor without giving my neighbor an opportunity to know wherein she was in error and a chance to correct it? Did you think I would believe reports that falsified her character and give her no chance to clear herself of charges brought against her? Please excuse me from this kind of work. My work is to see that justice and righteousness are practiced in every department, and not to let blame rest upon one who is not proved guilty. I have not been in the habit of working for private interests or personal gratification. God forbid that this charge should stand against me in the heavenly records. It is yet to be proved as to whether or not the charges are true that have been made against Sister Ings. Let the charges be plainly set before her. The charges against her are no more true than the charges you have made against me, and you accuse me of having the spirit of the evil one from the report of the conversation I had with Sister Gates. This charge was heard in heaven and was registered in the books where the deeds and words and motives of everyone are recorded.
Your words, exactly as they are written, are before me, from which I quote. Now, when you came over here to the retreat, you behaved yourself so badly before Sister Ings and Sister Gates in council and made such remarks that I declined having counsel with you. Such conduct is so unlike an ambassador of Christ, and so like the spirit of the evil one. I would not counsel with you when such a spirit controls you, no matter how much the Lord of heaven you thus and so. Works speak louder than words. What Sister Gates said was true, your denial of it notwithstanding. Proof of this is abundant. But what good is proof with you? When you are wrapped up with anyone, there, that ends everything, right or wrong. In these words, you show the same spirit and follow the same plan of action concerning me that you have shown concerning others. Judging from what others say is unchristlike, contrary to the teachings of His Word. During the whole period of my religious life, never have such bitter words been written or spoken to me. Men and women have shown me greater respect than this. You have been doing the same work with me that you have done with others. You have received Senior Gates' testimony against me, without coming to me, without learning the true version of the matter. I did speak decidedly against a wrong course of action with Sister Gates, and I told her the truth. I urged her to present to Sister Ings those things whereof she was accused, but she would not present the accusation, nor tell who were her accusers. Senior Ings, as a Christian woman, should know where she is at fault and reform in the matter if these things are so, or if not so,
she should have a chance to vindicate herself. This is her privilege, and her word is to be received as one who is seeking to do the will of God as conscientiously as Sister Gates or anyone else. I have not concealed your great danger from you, neither shall I do so. I shall not look on and see an influence introduced into the health retreat that will strengthen the hands of those who do not love or fear God, or who do not obey His commandments. I shall not look on to see those who are trying to serve God with fully as much sincerity as yourself, separated from the institution through the reports of patients diseased in body and mind, or through the reports of unbelieving helpers. If you wish to unite with Elder Daniels, and he wishes to unite with you to oppose the work the Lord has given me to do, you may do it. You may be able to make it necessary for me to put forth more decided effort, and thus increase my labor tenfold. But you cannot stop my work. You may place yourselves under the banner of the Prince of Darkness, and turn your weapons against the work of God, and against the servants of God, and against me in particular, whose life has been interwoven with the work from the first. But you cannot prevail against it. The Lord said to Samuel, "They have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." 1 Samuel 8, verse 7. If the Lord suffers you to develop and make manifest the manner of spirit that is moving you to action, the will of the Lord be done. It may be His pleasure to bring the light that He has given me more fully before the world, for the sake of making manifest the work to the world, either for the conversion of souls or for a witness against them. If this is His will, I say amen and amen. I shall feel sorry for those who take part with you in this work. I shall pity them, for they will need pity. They will need prayer, that the Lord may forgive them for their deeds of wickedness. The Lord is coming with power and great glory. The judgment will sit, and the books will be opened, and every man will be judged according to the deeds done in the body by him who says, "I know thy works." Revelation 3, verse 15. But, Dr. Burke, I do not believe that Elder Daniels will be persuaded by you, through any plan or device of yours, to unite with you in working against me. He is better acquainted with the nature and power of the work the Lord has laid upon me than to venture to do the wicked thing you propose to do. It cannot be that you are yourself in proposing such a thing. Another spirit has taken possession of you because you have become exalted and are walking in the sparks of your own kindling. In doing this work, you disconnect from Jesus, and you voice the words and follow the deeds of the powers of darkness. But I do not fear you. I do not fear and tremble before God.
I have not counted Elder Daniels as entirely hopeless. I have deep, earnest longings of the soul for him. I hope that he will come back to the Lord and be a humble, efficient worker in his cause. Be it known to you, Dr. Burke, that I will not retract one syllable of the testimonies given for Elder Daniels, neither will I confess that I did wrong in publishing the testimonies. If I had not seen him, repeatedly talked with him and his wife, and prayed with them, I might have some words different to speak to them. I should have had this confession to make, and would have done it cheerfully. But I went to him, in accordance with the direction of the Savior, and laid bare his evils before him. I wrote him fully, but my admonition was not heeded. I would not then have made his course public had he not represented himself to others as one whose course I sanctioned. Money was placed in his hands because he represented his condition as one of great necessity. He pictured himself as in financial distress. I sent the copy of letters I have given to Elder Daniels to the Pacific Press, asking them to have a few copies made from the typewriter that could be given to persons in the churches who were likely to be deceived. I said, "Hand these communications to the elders of the churches, and instruct them to use them only in cases of positive necessity." Here my part of the work ceased.
This was as far as I made his case public. There were only a few copies struck off, and as near as I can learn, they were used discreetly. It was Elder Daniels himself who opened up the matter to the world and published the articles that appeared in print from his own testimonies. Brother Church was in unity with him, and both engaged in this work. Oh, how ignorant you are of the real version of the explanation! How readily deceived by the enemy and led to misjudge those in whom you should have confidence, and disbelieve and harshly those in whom you should have faith! Your threatenings have no weight with me. If you wish to make manifest the manner of spirit that is now working upon you to the believers in California, you are taking the right course to do it. But you are making a history that you will not care to meet in the judgment. It is all written in the books of heaven. No evil work will be of long duration. It will come to naught. The word of God assures us that we can do nothing against the truth. If the doers of the words of God will hold fast to Jesus, all that is said and done against them will result in confirming and strengthening them in the faith. If the Lord does suffer evil to triumph for a while, it is only that victory may be more certain, for we are more than conquerors through him that hath loved us. Romans 8, verse 37. Concerning the people of God in these last days, the prophet has written, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Revelation 12, verse 17. Darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness the people. Will you choose to have the spirit of those who are in darkness? God forbid. I have hope that you will yet see the manner of spirit you are of, and humble your heart before God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. James 4, verse 8. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55, verse 7. I long to see you standing where I know you might stand, a faithful Caleb before God. You have only a short time been free from the spirit and influence of the world. You have drunk deeply of the spirit of worldlings. You have had an unsanctified ambition, desiring to be a remarkable man. But unless you have heavenly wisdom, and walk in paths that are cast up, and separate yourself from the world, you will become a remarkable man in a way that you do not now expect. If you have decided to strive for worldly praise and exaltation, make it your business. Give yourself to the world, and do not lead others astray. If you will follow Jesus, come out from the world and be separate. The gates of life are thrown wide open, so wide that every benighted soul can see the way to return, and the blind can have their eyes anointed with the heavenly eye salve that they may make no mistake. The message to the Laodicean church is applicable to you. Will you heed the message? Jesus and angels call to you, my poor, deceived brother. Come. The heavenly angels are calling, and they voice the words of Christ, who says, "Come."